Tune in to Refresh Radio with Regina Johnson.
Who is Regina Johnson? Regina Johnson.
Author, pastor, motivational speaker, and life coach.
Regina is inspirational,
motivating others to live out their purpose.
Regina is
passionate, tenacious, and relentless about helping others fulfill their destiny. Her goal is to bring a refreshing to someone's life. Join us every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Dial in to share your heart with Regina at 657-383-0309. That's 657-383-0309. And remember that Regina says,
we all know you really haven't failed until you stop trying. I want to be to people what others have been to me. And so that's really the purpose of Refresh. The end of the day, for people to feel refreshed.
So call in at 657-383-0309. That's 657-383-0309. You'll be blessed by her wisdom, strategies, and encouragement. That's Refresh Radio with Regina Johnson, a Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
Good evening. I'd like to welcome you to Refresh. This is Regina. I'm your host for the evening. I'd like to give a quick shout out to my girl, Princess Cooper, and to all the hosts that are a part of NHISG Sports Media. Before we move forward, I want to invite you to join me on Facebook. Also, you can catch me on Twitter as well as Instagram. On Twitter, though, reach me at Journey Strong. Hey, look, I also have a book called Unstoppable You that I have not mentioned in a long time. We're getting ready to do a new release at the beginning of the year. So I want you to go ahead and start checking out where you can locate it. You can find it online at Barnes & Noble's at this time. But you can also hit me up here at NHISG. Say, how can I get that book? Can you forward it to me? And in January, I'll be able to do that. It is an incredible book, Unstoppable You, my first book, but we're working on another, and so be sure and check it out. Hey, look, today we're going to talk about being a single parent who was raised single. It's not the same twist on just being a single parent, but how did it affect me being single and then giving birth in a single situation, or becoming pregnant, you know, in a single situation? And is it a lot of times it was looked upon like it is a generational curse, or is it something that I just a place I chose to dwell or live? But I want to really just kind of talk about that to see exactly how do you feel about this. We have some ladies here who are absolutely incredible, very profound women. One we've had with her before, who is an incredible woman of God. Her name is Kinshada Williams. Welcome to the show, Kinshada. You came on the show about, a year and a half ago, and you shared actually your story. And she is the mother of three handsome young men who love God, that she has raised for most of their lives single. Is that correct? But when I tell you what, her singleness has not stopped her one iota, still moving forward, and an incredible stylist. You have to check out some of her work. Your page is called what?
It's Crown and Glory.
Crown and Glory. If you want to get your dude dead, amen, you need to catch her. I know that some of us that are local in the Conroe as well as in the Dallas area, even in the Atlanta area. I've had stylists that have flown here from L.A. Why can't they fly you out there to Atlanta, blow some things up for them? So we want to welcome you here, as well as our producer of the show, Tasha Sterling. And why I always stumble over your name like I do not know you. Tasha Sterling is also here, who also is a single mom who was raised single. And so today we're going to talk about this because I think there's a lot of stigma. I know that biblically, you know, the desire is that we will marry, have children. I know that's the plan of God, but sometimes it doesn't go down like that. And sometimes even when we were born into the earth, it didn't go down like that. But it does not mean that we cannot be successful, nor does it mean that we don't want to be married either. Is that correct?
Correct.
Correct. But we don't hang our hearts on that. I mean, it's not like our focus day in and day out, right? There's something bigger. So let's jump right in. I want to welcome you again, Kinshana. And I welcome you, Tasha. I can't do it without you. And so I want to talk to you guys today. And y'all help them out. So just kind of, I can feel you, even though I can't see y'all out there checking it out. You know, just support them. You say, well, you know, I don't have any issues. We're not talking about issues. We're talking about victory. Moving forward, sometimes it's difficult. We have to shake ourselves. I think what really gave birth to the show was the conversation that you and I were having last night, Tasha, about you being raised by a mom and a stepdad and how some things just kind of, wow, and it could have turned your life in a whole totally different direction, but it did not. And so we're just saying, you know, having victory in our singleness. I know a lot of women grab hold of this and say, you know what, that is not an issue. I can do it and I don't need a man. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about how does it really affect us on the inside. So, Kinshana, again, welcome to the show. So we're going to jump right in with this. You're a mother of three, right? Yeah. Three handsome boys that are way energetic, right? Like anybody, any female that has a son knows, hey, amen, I can high five you right there on that. I used to hold my breath when Nicholas would come into the room when he was a little boy. And then with Marcus, I'm still holding my breath. So is that all right? So you have three boys and you have been doing it not completely on your own. I mean, you have the support of your family, but you really have done this thing on your own. And so let's just kind of talk about that first. Like you being a mom with these three boys, like how, you know, like really in your mind, like what do you even think about? How did you even process doing that? Three boys that are really not that much older than each other, but it's a busy house.
I kind of take it like one day at a time. Mm-hmm. Each one of my kids, they're very, very different. So it's almost like I have to be three people mm-hmm. at the same time. They respond to me very differently. But I have good days to where, you know, we go to the park, we play, but I'm constantly moving. But then I have bad days, too, where it's overwhelming. And I'm going to go in the kitchen. I'm going to make dinner. I'm going to do baths. I'm going to lay them down. I'm going to smile the whole time I'm doing everything. But once they're asleep, I'm going to go in my room, get under my covers, and cry until I go to sleep. And then there are other days where we all snuggle in bed and we laugh and watch TV until we all fall asleep. So it's just, it's not easy, but I could go back, I'd do it again because it taught me a lot. So it is teaching me a lot.
Wow. That's good. That's good. I've heard very few people say that if I could go back to a hard place, I would go back again. But that's where we learn. That's really where we grow and that's where we develop. And so you said we have like some difficult days, we have some good days. Your focus though on raising kids as a single parent really has to really rest in the place of the good days.
Yes, because the bad days is like they're very few.
Uh-huh.
When I say bad, I mean it's just been a long day. I'm tired. It's hard. I might have one that's sick, and I'm trying to keep him away from the other because then the other two will get sick, and I'll get sick. And then,
right.
But we have more good days than bad. Like I said, all three of my kids are completely different. I've got my oldest son who you can't tell him that you can dance better than him. He'll show you that he can dance better than you. My middle son, who I adore because he's the only one out of my three who still lets me love on him. He's about to be 7 next Sunday, but he's still very much a mom's boy. He's big, but he's like a gentle giant. And then my youngest son, he's very, very sweet. He's such a Sour Patch Kid. Like, he'll knock the crap out of you and then smile, and then you're like, okay, it's cool.
Right.
So the good days are more than the bad.
Are more than the bad mm-hmm. days. When you hear parents or women that say, you know what, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. I'm going to kind of throw this one back over on you, Tasha. Have you had some I cannot do this days?
Yes, especially when you're the one that has to do all the activities, and plus you're holding down a job, then you're coming and you're having to deal with your child and their to-do list, especially mine's 12, so she's very active. So it's like I'm the one who's juggling that and then anything else she needs. And so it's just like, oh, I just wish there was someone else that could pick it up. Like, hey, can you pick her up at soccer practice or can you do this? But no, it's me. I'm the one who's going to get her there. I'm the one who's going to get it done. So those are the days I'm just, there's some days, not every day, because most of the time you don't mind doing it because they're yours. But there are days you're just like, oh, can I just tap out and let someone else tap in?
Right, right. And so it's on those days when you don't have someone to tap in with, right?
Right.
And so where does your mind, either one of you guys can jump in there, when you don't have that person to tap in with you, what is like, where do you go to when you have that place? Like, and I don't mean like the good place, like go to the Lord. Like, what is the first thought that comes to your mind, like when you don't have that person to tap into?
Many times when I've had that happen, I'm telling you, I'll cry or I'll just have a moment like I can't do this. I really, really can't do this. I used to make a joke with my sister. There was a commercial and it was like this big red button that said easy on it and you hit it.
Right.
So I was like, I need somebody buy me that for Christmas. Like buy me that. So every time my kids start asking, I'm gonna hit the easy button.
Right.
So there'd be times where I'd cry. I'd call my pastor. I'd call my mom. But most of the time, I'd hide and I'd just cry and just hope it'd get better. And it would.
It would get better.
It just would.
Wait on it. How about you, Tasha?
The same. I would cry like on those difficult days, but then I would just remember like, you know, why I'm doing it. Like there's an outcome to all of this. I'm not just taking her to take her. Like there's something that I want her to get from playing this sport or from doing this activity. And so I kind of try to think of the big picture or who I'm trying to grow her to be. And that's why I'm doing it. It's not for another thing for us to do. It's to grow her, to mature her into the woman that I want her to become.
One of the things that's a, kind of a catchphrase for being a single parent is that people say, you know, you have to be both parents. Mm-hmm. Is that true? You have to be the mom and the dad. Is that true? Or you can never be one or the other. If you're like the dad that's raising them, you can't be the mom. Or is it, can you be the mom and the dad? Or do you feel like you have to be? Maybe that's what I'm trying to ask. Do you feel like you have to be the mom and the dad?
So I think that she and I will have two different answers. So my answer is I used to feel like I had to be the mom and the dad. I tried to be the mom and the dad. And because God created me as a woman, I cannot be the mom and the dad. There are things that I just couldn't teach them. One of the most memorable times I have with my son is trying to teach him to stand and aim at a Cheerio in the toilet. It didn't work out that well because there are certain things, you know, we can do certain things, but most things.
Hold up, back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, the what?
So he stood over his potty,
uh-huh.
And I stood over mine, and I was fully clothed. He was not, and so I'm going to aim into that Cheerio if you make it. We're potty trained.
Oh.
And so I'm trying to get him to potty because I'm tired of buying books. They're expensive and I'm tired of it.
Right.
And so I just kind of, my kid's dad, I have three children, two separate fathers, and neither of them were or are around. They'll pop up on Christmas. Hey, you know, I'm Santa Claus. So they'll pop up on birthdays. Hey, look at me. But other than that, I just didn't have that go-to, like, at all. Like, at all. So
okay.
The answer is no.
You couldn't
I
be
can't.
There. Yeah. Yeah. And you don't feel the pressure to.
No.
You started out feeling like that,
mm-hmm.
But you realize I can't be the dad. So you just work on being the best mom you can be.
Right.
Right. How about you, Josh?
I think it's how you look at the roles. I think sometimes, like, mine was also, like, I would try to be mom and dad because her dad is in her life, but he lives in a whole other state.
Mm-hmm.
So there would be things that normally he would do that I felt like I would now have to take that burden on to per
mm-hmm.
se because her dad isn't here and I felt
mm-hmm.
guilty or whatever you may say. But now, since we're, you know, 5 years into this thing, I've kind of just I'm the best mom I can be. I'm working on myself. Your dad, you know, he has to do his part, whether that's through FaceTime, phone calls. You know, you can call your dad. It's open communication, whatever you need. But I can't be your dad. I can't fill that void or that thing that you need from him. And only he can do that. But I can be your mom, and I can be the best version of myself for you.
So, okay, when you're saying, like, well, actually, I'll just kind of pick up right here, Kinshida, and I just really want to applaud both of you because, like, I have a husband. My husband, though, works out of state, and I know – or not out of state anymore. Wow. He's out of town, you can say out of town. And but, you know, there was one time we had, like, five kids, like, running around in the house, and he was gone. And it was hard, and I knew I had him to call. And, but I knew, like, especially, like, if I was in Texas and he was in California, I would be like, oh, I'm not feeling this. But I had, like, my mom, kind of like y'all have relatives to fill in the gaps. I did, but I knew, like, you know, he would be home, and then we could do the, you know, the mom and the dad thing. It was very difficult. So I applaud both of you women because, you know, sometimes you guys, you like you said, the dads would pop in, but you didn't know, like, okay, like, I know on Friday if the Lord – you know, so it's the same that my husband's going to walk through the door on Fridays, right? And or early Saturday morning. And I can, like, truly shift. And trust me, I shift. And but you guys don't get that, to, you know, to be able to do that. So really, single moms, man, y'all need to get, like, just big old fat award and a big old check that goes right along with it. And so you think so, too? You receive that? All right. Pull it in right now. And so... but anyway, so let's just talk about, like, on those days, like, when they don't pop in. Well, let's move it. When they do pop in, that's really where I was going. When they do pop in, how does that make you feel when they just pop in or have the luxury to just pop in?
With mine, if I can be honest,
yeah,
it makes me very, very mad because they don't call or anything. They literally just, like, I'm going to check the mail and pow, like, here I am. And, or sometimes they'll ring the door, or I'll come outside and the kids are outside playing with their dad. And I'm like, what are you? They're like, oh, I just came and I just brought them. And they're like, yeah, mommy, look what I got. And I'm like, I don't want to look at what you got. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
And so then it's like, I'm going to come pick you up later on. I'll be back. Daddy loves you. And then, boom, 7 months later, wow, I'm popping up again. So it makes me really. Really mad.
Yeah.
Really mad.
Uh-huh. I don't even know where to go with that. I thought I was ready for you, but I wasn't because that wasn't what I was expecting you to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it makes you angry.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about that, since you said it, what is it about that that makes you angry? Is it that they have the luxury?
Yeah, being a parent is not something you choose. You get to do part-time. You don't have the luxury of, you know, oh, it's like for convenience. So I'm going to go here in my convenience. I'm just grab this because it's here. I don't want to go all the way to the grocery store. I'm going to the convenience store and get this. No, this is not a convenience store. This is Walmart. We're open 24 hours a day, 366 days, because they're not open on Christmas. But
okay.
No, stop it. You need to come
every day. Wow. Hey, look, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back. You've been listening to Refresh. This is Regina Johnson, your host. See you in a second.
For love, for you, you, I can't get enough of you, you. Feel that love, can you feel that love, it's unconditional. Fill it up, come on, fill it up, fill it up, something spiritual.
Guys, I want to welcome you back. This is Regina. I just lost my train of thought here. Just look straight one direction at my door. I'm welcoming you back to Refresh. This is Regina Johnson, your host. If you've not been plugged in, today we are talking about single mothers raising kids, but not only just single mothers who are raising kids from a single life with a single life, but they were raised themselves. They were, in turn, their kids. And so if you weren't plugged in earlier, our guest today is Tasha Sterling, and our special guest here, Kinshada Williams, also a major stylist in our area, as well as in the Houston area, and we want to welcome you onto the show today, both of you, all right? And we're going to jump right in, and so before we went to break, you were saying that one of the things that really kind of frustrated you is when the dads of your children just kind of pop in, and you were making a statement that, you know, it's not like a convenience store. They can't just pop in and then go. Parenting is a 24/7 thing, right? Yes. So when you were growing up, you really kind of can get this with your kids, because when you were growing up, was your father in your life, or were you basically raised by your mom? What was that like?
My dad came around when I was like 9.
Okay.
I do remember him as I was growing up. He was incarcerated a lot, So my grandmother, his mom would take me to see him sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
She'd sneak me to see him, actually. My mom didn't permit me. She didn't want me to go into the prison.
Right.
We could write and we could talk on the phone, but she didn't allow me to go into the prison because I was so young.
Mm-hmm.
But my grandmother would take me, and we would go. And so there was a time where I just didn't see my dad for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Straight, because my mom found out about that. I didn't see my dad or my grandmother.
Oh, wow.
For that stretch of time. And
okay.
So then when I was about 9, he got out.
Okay.
And he came and knocked on our door. And I answered it, and he was standing there.
And? Wow.
And I just stood there. I remember standing there and looking at it, and then I remember water. Like water on my head. Because the drink that my mom was drinking, she threw it. And I remember my hair getting wet, and then I just dug down, and then the door closed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so?
He was there on and off.
Uh-huh.
He was in prison for a long time.
Okay.
A long time.
Right.
And since I was really young, I'm not sure the dates. I'm not sure how
right.
old I was. I do know that he wasn't there when I was born.
Right.
He was there when my sister was born. He was not there when I was born. He didn't come to any of my birthday parties at all.
Uh-huh.
He's 26 now, and he didn't come to any of my birthday parties at all.
Okay.
And I don't know. No.
So from that single place, like your mom raised you
yes.
as a single parent,
mm-hmm.
correct? How did that feel you? Now, you know your kids, right, and what they've gone through. How did you feel being, like, on the flip side of that? I mean, when you're parenting kids from a single perspective, that's not always how it was, you know? But you know it better than the person who might have been raised in a house with a mom and a dad and then is placed in a position of singleness. You actually know it from the perspective of where your children are. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll be honest. There are some things that my children pick up on now
mm-hmm.
that I didn't pick up on
mm-hmm.
because my mom was married.
Mm-hmm.
Or for a long time, my mom was dating one man.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew him to be my stepdad. She never portrayed him as my father. So I had like someone to fill the void.
Uh-huh.
And then when he went off to the army, my mom met someone else almost instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got married, and so I didn't have, like, he was, to me, since I was so young, I didn't get to bond with my dad to the point to where I longed for him to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until I realized that he was my dad and he was supposed to be there that I was filled with anger, like,
wow.
Why were you not here? Oh, you did this, and you were supposed to do this, so, oh, you owe him something.
Right.
Even
right.
now, I'm an adult, and me and my dad were forming a relationship, but when I get married
mm-hmm.
now, the man my mom married, she's divorced now, but when mm-hmm. when I get married, the man that my mom was married to will walk me down the aisle and not my dad.
Wow. Because he was more like a dad?
Right. I feel like he earned the privilege. I feel like it would be almost like a slap in the face. My dad was, he didn't really pop in and out of my life. He just kind of, it was like a bomb. He just kind of exploded into that. It was like, I don't know. It messed my mind up when he did so.
Right, right, right. But y'all have a relationship now.
Yeah. Right now, I look at him like not as my dad,
uh-huh.
but as my friend, one of my homeboys. Not my dad at all. I don't. I know it's weird. It's just with him being away for so long. I don't take him serious as my dad because. Looking at it from a mom's perspective,
uh-huh.
I love my kids to death. So I'm going to be there when they're sick. I'm going to be there when they're cold. I'm going to be there when they need me, when they're wet, when they're hungry, whatever they need. I'm going to be there all the time.
Right.
It makes me physically sick if I don't know what's going on with my children and
right.
I need to know. So the fact that he could live his life without having to be there for me, you're not my dad. You know, we can be cool. You're my friend. You don't get to
right.
be.
Do you feel like you're growing into that, though?
Into him being my dad?
Mm-hmm.
I acknowledge that he is my father. I get it.
Yeah.
I just, the little
just
girl
the,
in me,
yeah.
the little girl in me, she's a little bit salty.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yours is kind of different, Tasha.
Yeah.
You were raised
by my grandma.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say like, okay, let's how do we do this one?
Yeah, but she was single. There wasn't a man in the house. I didn't know my dad. My grandma raised me. She raised her kids single. She was divorced from my grandfather. My grandfather would pop in and out. Like once I was 8, I knew who he was, but I didn't really know. So she basically was everything to me, but I really didn't notice it like until I became a single parent myself, because my grandma made it seem so easy. I mean, she like would do everything. She got up at 6 o'clock and made me breakfast and would have me on the bus and would come home and cook for me. I mean, now we ate out a lot when I was little because she would pick me up from daycare. And I remember being one of the last ones picked up because she had to work and all of those things, like making those connections now that I'm a single mom and that happens to my kids sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, because you just don't have another person, you're the one. So I see those things more clearly, but she made it look flawless.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know how she did it by herself. And she had me since I was a baby, since I was like 2 weeks old.
Wow.
By herself, working, you know, for a mom and pop grocery store.
Right.
Not making a lot of money, but I always had everything I needed.
Right.
I mean, but she just made it seem so easy.
So your grandfather kind of popped in and out and you didn't know who your father is.
To this day, I don't know who he is. I know bits and pieces of the story. I know why.
It's so funny because when you said that, I kind of went like, what? I mean, I know this, but still to even hear you say that, you know, and I know there are many people who have no idea who their parents are, you know. But still, like, when I know, like, and it's not like an adoptive situation or like you're taken out of a situation, place in another one, but like you're with your family, but because your mom didn't give identity to who your father was, you literally do not know who your father is.
Right.
And so that's a whole nother singleness journey. In the process of that, just kind of share with us, like, what was that like, or what is that like?
Well, it was hard, and then I dealt with identity, because I don't even, like, have a picture of him, so I don't even know, like, what I've got from him. Do I look like him? Do I sound like him? You know, what were the things he liked or did not like? I don't even know, like, his side of the family. You know, things that you would want to know, like, I think I might have a sibling out there, like things like that. Like, there's questions unanswered.
Right.
And then it makes you, I think, hypersensitive, because with my daughter, like, I'm like, you don't understand how precious this is with your dad or with him. Like, and so I've had to back away, like, her story is not my story, you know, and not try to give her
right
issues, because
hang on 1 second, that was the other thing. Do you find yourselves parents, like, because of your situations, overcompensating? You're saying that, like, I had to kind of check. Do you find yourself overcompensating because you don't want your kids to feel like how, you know, you may have felt?
What do you mean exactly? Because I
do you find yourself trying to make sure that your kids didn't feel like how you felt as a child? Because
yeah,
we do that even as, like, and both my parents are there, and I think my parents were wonderful, but there was just some stuff that we just didn't want to do in this go round that my parents might have done. You know, my father, he was an alcoholic. Now my mom might say that he's not, but he definitely was. You get drunk every weekend, pretty much. So, you know, you kind of was there, right? So I would say, you know, that he was amazing. He was absolutely amazing. And if I had to pick another dad, I mean, I get to pick dads, you know, parents again, I'd probably pick the same too. Probably I would, because I loved how he made me feel about me and all the other little stuff. But I don't want Joe coming home drunk every weekend.
Yeah.
Nah, I can't do that. Cannot come home drunk every weekend.
I do that. Sometimes if one of them, you know, one of my kids' dads reaches out to me, like via Facebook or something like that, they don't have direct contact, like to my cell phone or anything like that. But they reach out to me, like through Facebook, hey, you know, can I see one of the kids? My oldest one, he'll say, hey, can I see Jane? And I'm like, sure. And so I'm like, okay, I'll be there tomorrow at 5 to pick him up. And I don't tell Jalen that he'll be there at 5 to pick him up, because I remember times when I got a little bit older, after my mom slammed it on my dad's face that day, there were 3 weekends in a row he said he'd come, and I sat with a backpack on the little, the sidewalk, like the edge of, like the curb. I sat on it and waited for him to come, and he never showed up. And I just remember, and I tell my dad to this day, you were the first man to ever break my heart. And it was in those 3 weekends that he did that. And so I don't want my kids to feel like that. My children absolutely love their dad. They don't see them very often, but they absolutely love their dad. It's the weirdest thing ever.
They don't see him, but they still love him.
No, they talk about him every day. They ask me questions. Sometimes I'll respond or I'll engage in conversation. Other times when I feel like I can't engage with them just because it brings up a sore spot for me, I'll just change the conversation. Hey, when can I see my dad? Hey, you want to go to the park? Let's go to the park.
Wow.
I'll just redirect it.
Okay, so Tasha, I know we just have a couple minutes in this, and so you said that you had to kind of back up a little bit, like even with the dad, his role or your daughter, how she needs to respond because of what was not there for you. How are you able to kind of, what is the word I'm looking for? Like with your own emotions, how are you able to really kind of not allow your stuff to spill over into it?
I have to remind myself, and then I have to look at why. Why am I pushing her to call her dad? Or why am I having to remind her? Now I just put the ball in their court. You know, he's free to call me. He has access to my phone if he wants to know something about her. Now, if I need something concerning our daughter, I'm going to text them or I'm going to call them. But as far as their relationship, I don't get involved in it.
Wow.
They can call. They can FaceTime. She has her own phone. There's free connection. So, you know, there's no limit. Like, I don't tell her, no, you can't call your dad right now. Mm-hmm. Or, no, you know, there's no limit. It. You are free to call your dad morning, night, afternoon. It's up to you.
Wow.
And so I just pulled myself out, because when we first got here, it was me like, make sure you call your dad. Make sure you call your daughter. Make sure you do this. She has this big game coming up. If he doesn't know, it's because she didn't tell him. Now, if it's really a big deal, I'll kind of give him a reminder like, hey, she has this. But then I don't push the issue anymore. If he calls, he does. If he doesn't, he just doesn't.
So did you think that when you used to do it before, was it because you felt it more for you or for her?
You didn't want
her to feel like how you might have felt?
Right. I didn't want her to feel like that. And then I knew.
Kind of like what Kinshaw was saying with her backpack.
Yeah, and how important it is to have a dad. Like to have, you try to fill it with all these other things. Like I used other things because I didn't have that man in my life to tell me things or to go to. And how it would make me feel like when other kids would be with their dad, or even to say like, hey dad, I love you, things like that. Mm-hmm. It's still like a soft spot.
Wow.
And so I just had to watch, because her issues aren't my, you know, I don't want to give her my issue.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wait, look, we have 1 minute before our break, so we're going to go ahead and take that right now. If you have just plugged in, we have an incredible show that's going on right now. It's talking about single mothers who were raised as single kids. How is that correct? How am I saying this? No, that didn't make sense. Did it? Single, you were raised in the same setting in which your children are being raised. But you're good. You're good. And so we hope that this will be an encouragement to someone else. We'll be right back. You're listening to Refresh. This is Regina Johnson, your host.
Never Had It So Good 101.1 is proud to have talk radio on their platform. Like Pastor Regina Johnson, Refresh Radio, James Deshay, Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, Daquan King, Revive Radio, Warren Sally with Man Cave Radio, Sky Wonders with Unmuted, Your Voice Matters, Wake Up Call Radio with Pastors Warren and Annie Sally, Peace Within Radio with Henry Washington, The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, Dig Radio with Pastor Annetta Watson, crazy sports mom with Doretha Anderson. Been there, done that with Cindy Smith. Pave your way to success with Rudy and Michelle Govan. Spiritually reincarnated with Gilbert Sines. In Times Like These with Benita Coney. Sports Talk Atlanta with Matt D and Travis McGee. Sports Talk Carolina with Andre White and Nick Emerson. Sports Talk Money Podcast with Elliot Johnson. Power 803 with Reverend John Robinson. Totally Healed Radio with Angel Anderson. Bless This House Gospel House with Bishop Timothy Henderson. And It's a Way Out and a Way to Stay Out with Marlon Reed. I'm talking about absolutely the best talk show host in the country right here on Never Had It So Good 101.1, the world's radio station.
Refresh. This is Regina Johnson, your host, with my two lovely guests, Kinshada Williams and Tasha Sterling. We are discussing single parenting, right? And also kind of throwing a twist in there on being people or individuals that were raised in a single parent setting. Different stories, but still, you know, kind of some of the same emotional things to it. If you were, if you had the opportunity, Kinshada, to share what you do, you're on the radio right now, but kind of share with some single mothers that run into or having some struggles, I'll say that, with parenting from a single perspective, what is some of the advice you would like to give them?
As cliche as it might sound, I would say don't give up, because being a single parent and being a single parent to multiple children, especially boys, is tough. It's enough to make you want to give up. And so I would not just find something and focus on what you want to so find something that you want to do in the future, where you want to go, and set your mind on that, and then just keep going towards that. Whatever happens along the way, just kind of take it for what it is and press past it and just keep going towards that. I also want to say that a lot of times people say that, oh, you only have one child, it's nothing. Oh, you only have, I disagree. I feel like whether you have one, two, or 15, and you're doing it by yourself, even if you're married, I think it's tough sometimes being a parent, regardless of how many children you have and, you know, with you being single. So I would say not to give up. And if you want to cry, cry. If you, whatever you want to do, do it. And I find somebody that you can talk to other than your children. But I find somebody that you could, I found myself talking to my kids a lot. On an accident, I'd be talking to myself. I'm driving, and my son is getting, he's 6 months old, and he can't understand me. And so I'm just driving, and I'm just venting, and then I'm just driving, and I'm just venting, and I'm talking to him. And he's a year old, and I'm just driving, and I'm venting, and I'm talking to him. And he's 5 years old, and he's understanding, and he's starting to understand what I'm saying. I'm just driving, and I'm venting, and he's seven, and he's saying, Mommy, why do you feel like that? So I'd be careful as to what you say and who you vent to and who you vent in front of, meaning your kids. I wouldn't do that because they understand you.
Wow. How about you, Tasha?
For me, kind of what she said, your support system, I can't stress that enough, whether it's family, a friend, somebody that you can talk to, or, you know, on those days where you just need to tap out. There's no other option or you're going to lose it and you're not going to make a good parenting choice. You need that circle or that support team that could be like, hey, I got it for a few. Or, you know, you can do this, you're doing a great job, or whatever that is, those things that we need. And then taking care of yourself as parents with a husband and a wife, it's hard to find that time. But as a single mom, it's important to carve out that time. Whether you have to leave them an extra 10 minutes at the daycare, they will be okay. Take that time for yourself. Go get that mani. Go get that pedicure. You know, go watch that movie.
I thought you said, go get that mani.
Go get that mani. And then, you know, go watch that movie. Take a bubble bath and pee.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that thing is for you, go take that walk without no children.
Right.
Whatever it is, that is so important, because when you're the best you, then you can be that for them.
What is the thing that both of you, either one of you can answer, what was the thing that you needed the most that seemed like it was just in limited supply in
money.
Raising those
Oh my
kids?
God. Can I money, like money, like
oh
money.
God.
Can I say money?
Go ahead, yeah.
Can I? I'm telling you, I'm asking you, and I'm
right.
asking them if I can
say money.
You're
asking a listening audience.
Oh my goodness, I just kind of felt like, didn't I just buy you those shoes? Like, didn't I just buy you that shirt? You need another jacket? Like, oh, my God, the school wants what? Look, if the school asked me for $6 for another fundraiser, I don't have it. Like, it was just, I just kind of felt like it was so much money. And then the older my children got, then they got picky about what I was buying. So I want to go to the store with you, and I want to pick out my own stuff. And, of course, it's going to cost you 3 times more than the $7 shoe that you would buy me. Of course, it's going to cost you way more. So I would say, money, one, and two, sleep. I was so sleepy. And I was sleep deprived, and I was really angry. So I sleep, money, and sleep.
Money and sleep.
Yes.
How about you, Tasha?
Personal space. I was not used to that, because she had her dad for a little bit, for seven years. And so I was used to, oh, go play with your dad, you know, kind of get a break. Oh, but when I became a single mom, there was no personal space. She was always up in my personal space. I couldn't even watch a movie without Mom, come see. Or Mom, can I cuddle with you? Or Mom, can I do this? Right. Or Mom, I'm scared to be out here by myself. Come with me.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that, I'm like, I just need me time. I would lock myself in the bathroom just to get 10 minutes of uninterrupted personal time.
I got a newsflash for you. With a husband or without one? Money, if I was counting, when you said about the fundraiser, yeah, okay, with my husband, still, if I had to have one more something, I got to buy a candle.
Mm-hmm.
No, I got to make sure that your list is already filled up because you have not gone to the neighbors.
Right.
So I got to buy all the stuff now, or my goodness, I had three graduating from high school right in a row. I was just like, oh my gosh, and in the private time, they would stick their fingers underneath the door in the bathroom. I'm like, what can I wait until I would just be literally just sitting there. And
you ever wake up and your snack is gone?
And your snack.
Yeah, like you ever start eating a snack, you wake up and your snack is gone.
Yeah, but usually that's our dog. They got my, it's your children.
Yeah.
You were eating a snack, fell asleep. Right. Oh my gosh. So I think some of the things, whether you're a single mom, or if you have a husband to go through this with, it's still pretty much the same. The only thing is, which is a big thing, I don't want to downplay that, is that, you know what? At the end of the day, I have someone to share all of the craziness with.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of your day, it's you. It's you. And so, man, again, I want to applaud you guys just for being able to do that, because no matter how long of a stretch it is before he comes home, I know, you know, if he's safe and he's well, you know, and he's alive, he is coming. But it's that waiting, you know, for you guys. Like, is that, let's kind of that thing. Are you looking forward to, or is that a focus of yours, of the day that you don't have to do this single? Or are you just all right? Do you ever want to not do this single?
Every day, right now, while I'm talking to you, I do not want to do this single. I do not. I love my kids. Don't. But no. I saw on a show one day this lady, she didn't have any kids. Mm-hmm. And she said, I don't want to have kids. I'm not married. And they said, well, you can do it without a man. She said, no, because I want to always have wait till your daddy gets home in my back pocket
right.
So that I can use it. And so, I feel when God sends me a husband, he'll accept my children. So wait till your daddy gets home. I cannot wait to say that.
You can't wait to say
that. Yeah, so I'm ready right now.
Right.
Today.
That's a powerful card, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm, I can't wait.
I can really scare my kids from long. When your father comes home, that'll just shut the whole.
And place. I don't think that's fair because I put in so much work, but yeah. But
you can't wait.
I can't wait.
So you can pull that
like,
card.
Oh no, I got the last home.
I'm slamming it on the table.
Wait.
How about you, Tasha?
I'm the same way. Like, today.
Yeah.
It makes it totally different. And I had a partner for a little bit. So
right.
I know the difference. Like, it is a total different dynamic. And, you know, she needs that support from somewhere else. Sometimes the mom, they just tune you out. But the dad could say something, and it's a whole nother ball game. So, yeah, I'm with you.
You're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Wow. So, all right, when one of the things that you saw in your family, like with your mom and moms or grandparents, whoever raising you, and I know we're kind of getting close to the end of the show, so, but this, and I know you guys had great support systems and great moms and still people that are very active, both of you, in your lives. What is the thing that you want to shift for your next generation? For the grandkids or your kids versus what you could not change pertaining to you?
For me, I want to say a greater deposit of love for me. I say that because when I was growing up, my mom was there for me. She bought me everything I needed, everything I wanted. And she was a good mom, but she didn't know how to show me love. And her mom didn't show her love. It was no hugs. There were no kisses. There was no, I love you, sweet girl. There was none of that. And so I always make sure I tell my son, you're so handsome, or you're so this, you're so that. And I and I show them love. And so I want.
To the greater deposit of love.
Of love, yeah. In my family, that's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want them to be okay with being boys and being able to be loved and being boys and being able to cry and being boys and being able to be kissed on their lips by the dad. Like you were saying, I want them to be okay with that. And, of course, marriage. I want my kids to do it the right way, the way God saw fit for us to do it.
Right. How about you, Tasha?
That's my biggest thing, the right way in the decisions, how important the decisions you make, even from 18, 19, 20, how they affect and impact your life. And how I was telling my daughter, because she's 12, we were talking, and I was telling her how that my decision, I'm not the one paying the price, you are. A decision that I chose to make now impacts you. So those decisions that you decide to make are going to impact your kids.
Wow.
And it opened her eyes. Like, yeah, like I made this decision and she had no choice in the matter. Right. But it's impacting her. She's the one who has to pack her stuff up and go with her dad for Christmas and summer. It's not me who has to switch my routine. It's her. And so she saw that, like it opened her eyes, like the decisions I make in my life affect others.
Wow.
And that's important for me, for her to see that.
Wow. That, and you said something else that I don't want to miss. You said decisions and do you remember what the other one was?
Making the right choices, like getting married.
Okay.
Because
Right. So that's all still a part of that decision.
Right.
Well, guys, I'm telling you, this has been absolutely not only eye-opening but incredible. I thank you for your transparency on today because I know that this is not something that is just easy for either one of you to really talk about. But you bravely came and you shared from your heart, you know, where you are and where, you know, you desire for your children to be. I know I've just kind of watched both of your journeys and really, again, I know I keep saying it over and over again, but it is amazing. And I've watched both of you really kind of mature in this, you know, in the journey. I didn't see you give birth to two, but I did the last one, and I watched that whole journey. And the woman that you were then and the woman that you are now, Kinshasa, two totally different people. And then I remember you, Tasha, when Caitlin was quite younger, because that transition was very difficult. Also, you know, briefly before you get off the phone, off the line, could you share, like, I mean, that transition when you and your husband were together and then you separated, that was one thing that happened with her. Anger entered into your child because of, and you had to do that process alone.
Right. My child was very angry to the point where it was scary. And I ended up having to get her counseling and help by myself. It was all alone. And I was terrified because she was so angry. And she was, at that time, she was 7. So she didn't know how to tell me. And she was mad at me because I had left prior to the divorce. I was deployed. And then when I got back, I went to Texas and she came with me after the summer. She finished out first grade, and then she spent the summer, and then she came with me. So it looked like I did it all, like it was my fault.
Right.
So
The divorce.
Mm-hmm. And she made me pay a high price because she missed her dad. She missed her grandparents. It was constant. I was constantly – then I was dealing with my own emotions.
Right.
So I wasn't whole or healed either,
right.
Trying to deal with a child who was broken and bitter and angry. Why I'm broken, bitter, and angry.
Wow.
And so we're both dealing with all these emotions, and I would just lock the door and cry, and she would hear me, and she would cry, and it was just – it was a mess. It really was.
Wow. Well, you guys are like leaps and bounds away from those places. And so I pray tonight that somebody that's just about to throw their hands up in the air and settle for just whatever falls through the door, whatever happens with the kids, you know, and some there, you know, even though that's not your story, we have parents that have just completely walked away from it. But you guys, that's not your option. Those were not your options. You sought out support and help, and you're standing strong, and you're being and giving your kids exactly what is needed in this hour. And so, again, I commend you guys. Hey, look, you have been listening to Refresh. I pray that you were blessed today. Give another quick shout-out to my girl Princess Cooper and everybody else that's listening. We will see you next week on Refresh.